Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. Not such a great day for the foreign policy of the United States. Reuters is reporting that with their continuing advance, the Taliban now control two-thirds of the territory of Afghanistan, and that they could easily capture the Afghan capital of Kabul in 90 days. That, according to sources in U.S. intelligence. Could that be true? If that's true, what does it mean? What do we do in the next 90 days? Is it worth fighting to prevent that from occurring? And meanwhile, you look at the situation in Iran, and if the U.S. does the right thing, Ambassador John Bolton says we could help to topple the Ayatollahs. Wouldn't that be a beautiful moment? John Bolton is a former ambassador to the United Nations. He is a former chief advisor on national security to the President of the United States, President Trump. He is the author of the shockingly readable and satisfying book, The Room Where It Happened, a White House memoir, which is one of the better books of its kind ever, in my opinion. And it is a pleasure to welcome him back to the show. Ambassador Bolton, let's talk about the good news first. You say that the strict sanctions that are currently in place could actually help to topple the Iranian dictatorship, theocracy. How would that work?
Well, since the U.S. withdrew from the 2015 Iran nuclear deal in May of 2018, and the U.S. reimposed its nuclear-related sanctions on Iran, they've had a devastating effect on the economy. Now, they built on decades of mismanagement by the Ayatollahs, to be sure, but we can see all over Iran today anti-government demonstrations, not covered or hardly covered by the Western press because they don't go out into the countryside. But I believe that the regime is at its weakest point since the 1979 revolution. Now, it's still protected by the Revolutionary Guard. It's a military theocratic dictatorship at the moment. But I think the possibility of exploiting splits within the regime is real. And I think the worst thing we could do at this moment would be to relieve the sanctions pressure that we've put on Iran.
That was supposed to be a priority for the Biden administration, was to get back into the JCPOA. But they appear to have cooled on that. What is the administration's position now, as you can discern it?
Well, I think you're right. I think it was one of their highest priorities to restore the 2015 deal, which as part of the Obama administration, Biden and others participated in creating. They thought it was the second Obama term's equivalent accomplishment to Obamacare in the first term. So this has for them almost a theological significance. And they were prepared to make what, in my judgment, were really harmful concessions to the Iranians for the privilege of letting the U.S. back into the deal. Now, after 6 months of trying, the U.S. still isn't back in the deal. The Ayatollahs have made sure that there's a new president who's a hardliner. In Iran, that's very relative. You have the distinction between hardliners and hardliners. And this new president is of the latter variety. So I think the administration has come up against a wall. I'm not sure they have a plan B at this point. And certainly to make even more concessions would be to make a bad situation worse. So I'm hoping that some of our allies, maybe Israel, maybe the UK, can pick up where U.S. leadership has left off here.
Yeah, you have a column about that that we'll post at our website at michaelmedved.com in a British newspaper with The Independent, which is very much worth reading. Let me ask you about this. What is the relationship between the Iranian Shiite regime and the ultra-Sunni radicals of the Taliban? Are they on the same team, or are they at each other's throats?
Well, it depends on their purpose. Certainly, theologically, there's no love lost between them. But you know, one of the great sayings coming out of the broader Middle East is, "I against my brother and I against our cousin, all of us against the stranger." So when it comes to the little Satan in Israel or the great Satan in the United States, a lot of theological differences can get shuffled behind the curtains. And I think that the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan is a mistake and a tragedy for many reasons. But one reason it is that it takes pressure off Iran. We are no longer in a capability on their border with Afghanistan to look a little bit more closely into what they're doing in Iran. So there are a lot of possibilities here, I think, not just in Afghanistan, but in Iran for continued work to support terrorism, and maybe some of it in cooperation between Taliban and Iran.
I also recently saw, and I think most Americans are totally unaware of this, there apparently are very ambitious military maneuvers going on along the Afghan border with a combination of Russian, Uzbek, and Tajik troops, so with Tajikistan and Uzbekistan, which are formerly parts of the Soviet Union. What the hell does Putin have in mind regarding the Afghan border?
Well, I think two possibilities. Number one, he once said in before his first term as president expired in 2005, he said the breakup of the Soviet Union was the greatest geopolitical tragedy of the 20th century. Now, I think most of us think it was a pretty good way to end the 20th century, but that's obviously not Putin's view. So his enhanced cooperation with Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, all of the Central Asian republics could well be part of his larger effort to reestablish Russian hegemony within the space of the former Soviet Union, number one. And number two, there's legitimate reason in Central Asia to worry that a Taliban-controlled Afghanistan could become a sanctuary, not just for ISIS and Al-Qaeda, which threaten us, but for things like the Islamic movement of Uzbekistan, which, despite its name, at one time was really a threat across the Central Asian republics. And they may be worried that they can see what's happening in Afghanistan as we can, and they are worried that they want to act against that threat before it actually appears.
Okay, with the current situation on the ground and the possibility of Afghanistan being totally overrun by the Taliban within 90 days, the question is, can we stop it? And secondly, should we stop it?
Well, I think now we're probably past the point of no return. I mean, having pulled everybody out, to put them back in would be a significant logistical operation. I think there's no chance Biden would entertain it. In any event, it was a profound mistake to withdraw our forces and for NATO to follow us out the door. Unfortunately, if Trump had been reelected, he would be doing almost exactly the same thing. And I think both Biden and Trump suffer from the illusion that we benefit from a presence in Afghanistan, not because we're doing an act of charity for Afghanistan, but because it's strategically better for the United States to protect our own citizens from future terrorist attacks to do it on the ground in Afghanistan rather than on the streets and skies over America. So I'm deeply worried that if Taliban do take over again, and ISIS and Al-Qaeda rebase there, that we're going to be facing those terrorist threats in the not-too-distant future.
Ambassador John Bolton, you're always so clear with your perspective, and I appreciate it so profoundly. His book, The Room Where It Happened, a White House memoir, is still available. We will be right back on the MedVet Show. He's called capitalism the greatest thing humanity has ever accomplished, and he warns socialism is trickle-up poverty. That's the internationally acclaimed CEO and free market champion John Mackey, the keynote speaker at this year's Washington Policy Center annual dinner in Bellevue with the Hyatt Regency. Yep, in person in Bellevue at the Hyatt Regency on October 1st. Tickets and information at WPCdinner.com. That's WPCdinner.com. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
On the Michael Medved show. There isn't quite a new governor of New York yet, but the old governor, who's been there for 10 years, is just through. I mean, the lack of sympathy in his resignation announcement. Andrew Cuomo even did what politicians looking for pity all of a sudden always do, as they talk about their children or their pets. Richard Nixon gave the famous Checkers speech when he was in a world of trouble during the presidential campaign of 1952. Nixon was the running mate of Dwight Eisenhower. They had found out, the press, that Nixon had received a sort of slush fund from supporters that helped to accentuate his lifestyle. And his wife had bought a coat. He said in his defense, his famous Checkers speech, it was not a mink coat, it was a good Republican cloth coat. But they had also bought a little dog with it, a Cocker Spaniel named Checkers. And he said, no matter what the Democrats say, we're not going to give Checkers back. Yesterday, in his speech, Cuomo heartrendingly described a scene where he was sitting down with his three daughters, two twins and a younger daughter. They're all in their 20s. And they were watching TV together, and they were watching some of the coverage of this scandal. And he said, and I looked into their eyes and probably wanted to kill yourself. I mean, how did that, to withstand that, to have your daughters listening to some of the stuff that you can't really even talk about on a family radio show, that Cuomo allegedly did to the 11 women. And apparently there are two more, and they keep popping up. Kathy Hochul is promising a clean slate. Today, the front page photograph that appeared everywhere, I think it was taken by the New York Times, but it shows Cuomo carrying his briefcase. He's leaving the TV studio where he delivered his farewell address, I guess you could call it. And man, it just looks like a ruined human being. And again, he kind of did this to himself. And it does illustrate something that Republicans have always believed in and should assert again, which is, yeah, sure, it's great to be smart. It's great to be experienced. It's great to be clever politically. It's great to be funny. But character counts. And anyone who looks at the history of Andrew Cuomo or his future, where he is almost surely going to be facing further investigation over lying about the number of nursing home deaths in the early stages of COVID. And by the way, and I was just looking at his book. For his book, Crisis, Lessons of Leadership from Andrew Cuomo, he got $5.1 million in advance for that book. They have sold at most, apparently, 40,000 copies, which means that they are about $4.5 million minimum short, losing money, Crown Publishers. And full disclosure, I'm also a Crown publishing author. I did not get, unfortunately, $5.1 million for my most recent book with them. But at Kathy Hochul providing a very different kind of approach in her first press conference since Cuomo left office. She's supposed to be taking over as governor. When now 13 days, he promises to formally resign. Here is a governor designate, I guess you could call it, Kathy Hochul.
Yesterday, and he pledged his full support for a smooth transition. And I thanked him for his service to our state. Regarding his decision to step down, I believe it is appropriate and in the best interest of the state of New York. And while it was not expected, it is a day for which I am prepared. So in 13 days, I will officially become the 57th governor of the state of New York. And shortly thereafter, I look forward to delivering an address to all New Yorkers to lay out my vision for the great state of New York. But make no mistake, our work has already begun. And I know this year and a half has been so challenging for families and businesses across our state. And the promise I make to all New Yorkers, right here and right now, I will fight like hell for you every single day, like I've always done and always will.
Sounds a little bit refreshing after Governor Cuomo. Yeah, she does. By the way, when she was a congressman, she won in a conservative district in part because she had an A rating from the NRA. She is not, and Cuomo, of course, his proudest accomplishment was the a very, very aggressive gun regulation that was passed in New York. But then again, Governor-designate Hochul wants to distance herself from her predecessor. Listen, clip 10.
The governor and I have not been close. Physically, I think it's very clear that the governor and I have not been close. Physically or otherwise, in terms of much time. And so I've been traveling the state and do not spend much time in his presence or in the presence of many in the state capitol, but that is what has been being reported. And I'm going to stand right here. At the end of my term, whenever it ends, no one will ever describe my administration as a toxic work environment.
And good thing to say, I mean, it is interesting. She wants to say they've never been close physically. This could be one of the few women in the orbit of Governor Cuomo without complaints about him. But then again, she is his successor. What does all this mean politically? It means that the Democrats are very likely to have an extremely contentious primary, unless Kathy Hochul ends up being a very successful new governor and builds up an unassailable kind of lead. But they have all kinds of people. There's even talk that instead of running as Chuck Schumer, AOC might run against Kathy Hochul. And then there's de Blasio and many more ready to challenge. What about Chris Cuomo and his wrongdoing involved with his reprobate brother? We will get to that and more coming up on the MedVet Show.
And he was working a grope line.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
Would you like to breathe in freedom wherever you go? Now you can with the Amulet Shield. Based on space-age technology, the Amulet Shield emits positive ions and surrounds you with a forest-fresh scent wherever you go. Roaming big box stores, riding stuffy elevators, or waiting in long lines, the Amulet Shield hangs around your neck and runs 24 hours when fully charged. Breathe in freedom with the Amulet Shield. Find the Amulet Shield at ProjectPillowTalk.com or call 877-289-7439. No, the Amulet Shield will not kill, cure, or heal anything except fear of not being able to breathe in freedom. So call or click today. ProjectPillowTalk.com or 877-289-7439. That's ProjectPillowTalk.com or 877-289-7439. Breathe in freedom with the Amulet Shield. Currently established federal laws that govern dietary supplements do not allow us to diagnose or treat any medical condition.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
One key thing about the infrastructure bill that just passed the Senate is there are no gas tax increases.
President Biden speaking at the White House regarding his Build Back Better agenda. The president also saying in the future he wants to see the correlation between a barrel of oil falling with gas prices lowering, which is not happening now. McAllen, Texas Mayor Major Javier Villalobos is sounding the alarm and calling on the Biden administration with help as illegal immigrants make up a large portion of those who have tested positive for COVID-19. The mayor telling CBS News,
"Oh, I think there's an issue because now they're going through out, positive or non-positive. They get picked up and they're going out and we have no authority to stop it."
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
On the Michael Medved show, there is, of course, a lot of speculation in the backwash of this sinking of the SS Andrew Cuomo. A lot of backwash about how does that actually impact Chris Cuomo, who still is doing his nightly show on CNN and trying hard not to mention his brother. Look, I feel sorry for Chris Cuomo. I mean, do I think it was an outrage that he advised his brother or spoke to his brother? No. Do I think this is a very difficult situation to be in, given the fact that they apparently are a close family and they have a close family relationship, even though at the moment it kind of beggars the imagination as to how anybody could feel particularly close to Andrew Cuomo? I mean, what a disaster. That was a complete disaster. People are saying this is one of the most spectacularly rapid collapses in the history of American politics. From being viewed as a hero of the fight against COVID to being viewed in an entirely negative way, where as Bret Stephens, I think, eloquently described him, he said, "What I find somewhat amazing is that more New Yorkers didn't recognize sooner what a repulsive, repellent, repugnant, revolting, retrograde, rebarbative, reprobative reptile they had in the governor's office. What took so long?" Discussion between Brian Stelter, who is the media expert on CNN, he was on with Stephen Colbert, and they were speaking about the conflict of interest of having Chris Cuomo on CNN in the midst of this crisis. This is clip 2A.
In a small way, your network is involved in this story because, of course, the governor's brother, Chris Cuomo has his show, The Cuomo Zone, on...
Is that what it's called?
I don't remember what it's called, but The Cuomo
Zone. Cuomo Prime Time!
Cuomo Prime, 360 Cuomos. And, and he, the New York Times, has just reported, a report just dropped because it had been alleged that he was helping his brother with his, you know, his communications team. New York Times is reporting that that's true. Chris was helping his brother. Has that created any conflict over at CNN behind closed doors? Are people mad at him, or is he in trouble?
Some people are mad at him. By the way, I can confirm the New York Times report. I'll confirm it for your viewers. I also have a source that says Chris was on the phone with his brother this week.
Is your source Chris Cuomo?
He is not. You got to have boundaries. You got to draw a line.
Why? He doesn't.
I think he does, actually.
Really?
They go on, and Stelter actually makes a grudging admission. This is 2B.
I think Chris does. I don't know about the governor.
What are the boundaries?
I think Chris does.
What are the boundaries?
The boundary that CNN management presented to him in May when they admitted he screwed up. They said, You know, what you did was inappropriate. You were on the phone with your brother's aides advising them on what to do, and that was inappropriate. But they said, of course you're going to talk to your brother. You know, there's nothing more important.
But he didn't talk about his brother once the trouble started. He said,
right.
I'm not going to talk about my brother.
And that was also a management ruling. And so
why didn't they rule that way when his brother was on the show pretty much every night during the COVID crisis?
I think it's really complicated.
That seems like an odd conflict of rules.
It is an odd conflict, but I don't think if we open up the journalism ethics book, there's no page for this. It's the craziest set of circumstances you can imagine, right? A governor and a brother, both in these high-profile jobs. This was definitely awkward for CNN, though.
Definitely awkward for CNN, but nothing like it was awkward for the Cuomo family. And on the other side of the country, there's this, a big new announcement that I think is intended to save the day for Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom is facing, in just about a month from now, a month and 3 days, his day of judgment, where the voters of California, according to most polls now, seem to be ready to throw his sorry being out of office. And so this is a very interesting ploy, it seems to me, to try to seize the initiative, take the initiative back in terms of his battle to save himself from the recall election. This is clip 9 with the announcement, Governor Newsom. Listen.
We're now following up today to align our school strategy to the state strategy to become the first state in the country to require that all of our staff, not just teachers, credentialed staff, paraeducators, custodial staff, the bus drivers, folks that are critical to supporting the entire school ecosystem, also submit a verification of vaccination and or submit to weekly testing.
Okay, this is a very big deal because with California, more than 10% of the U.S. population is in California. It's the biggest state by far in population. And with a tremendous number of students in schools, and they're talking about everybody, bus drivers and janitors and parateachers and volunteers, everybody, but it has to show a vaccine credential and not the kind you buy from China for $25 that we just were hearing about. And what is the idea? Why is this political? I suspect what Gavin Newsom wants to do is to draw the vigorous Republican challengers against him, and there are several, into a battle on this issue. Because among Republicans, while I don't think there's much division among Democrats regarding masking or regarding vaccine certification, the polling shows that there are about 30% of self-identified Republicans who say they don't plan to get the vaccine, and there are about 6% of certified or self-identified Democrats. So this can rally the Democrats, and it can force the Republicans to say something about this. And if you're Larry Elder, the front-running Republican candidate right now. My basic plea for Larry is don't wade into this. This shouldn't be fought out about Gavin Newsom's term. He's been an awful governor. You can remind people that he didn't take the restrictions that seriously when he went to that restaurant. But this is meant to basically try to make up for that and to erase that. Will it work? I think highly dubious. And speaking of dubious, that same Bret Stephens conversation where he was coming up with all those juicy R-word adjectives to describe the outgoing governor of New York, he also spoke a little bit, and I think accurately, about Vice President Harris. And he said, he was asked, how would you size up her vice presidency so far? And he said, well, nobody is seeing, is feeling in awe at her debut. Partly it's not her fault. If you want your vice president to shine, you do not stuff her portfolio with Mexican border issues. But beyond that, there's been a lot of talk about disarray in her office. And I can't say I've been wowed by some of her interviews that she's done. The surprise is that it's a surprise. She was a terrible presidential candidate. She has bad instincts and worse preparation. Her attack on Joe Biden in the first primary debate for a position he took as a young senator in the 1970s was personally unfair and politically tone-deaf. She flip-flopped on the question of whether she favored abolishing private insurance, and she dropped out of the race before the Iowa caucuses. I sometimes think Biden picked her for Veep because he knew that for all her symbolic appeal, she would never outshine him. If so, it was very canny. All that goodwill for a gender-breaking breakthrough without the peril of actual competition. I was sort of thrilled when he announced that she was going to be his running mate, but I have never once thought I'd like to see him step down so she could move up. And you'll remember that stuff about, well, she's going to be really running things in the White House. She's not even running things in the vice president's mansion, is she? We will get to more, a drop in the white population, reason for concern, coming up on the MedVed Show. Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are four key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. Okay, how crucial are faith and freedom really to America? Ronald Reagan called faith and freedom the twin beacons that brighten the American sky. What did Reagan mean? Well, you can find out at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College, which has just launched a new course on the legacy of Ronald Reagan. This is very important because the course is posted online at the Institute's website, faithandfreedom.com. The course is led by Reagan biographer and expert Dr. Paul Kangor, frequent guest on my show. And the course includes Professor Kangor's one-on-one interviews with the likes of Bill Bennett, Ed Meese, Peter Robinson, Michael Reagan, and more. It's a remarkable offer that you will truly not find anywhere else, and it's free. Yeah, it's actually free. While you're there at faithandfreedom.com, also check out the many articles and lectures on topics from freedom of conscience to critical race theory, from Madison and Lincoln to Churchill and Reagan. You can find all of this and much more on the website at the Institute for Faith and Freedom, faithandfreedom.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer. It's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer. Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer. Excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Washington Post, the headline, census likely to show drop in white population. Why? So many white people moving away from the United States? No, it's low birth rate and aging population. And one of the problems with this, where it talks about how white people will soon be a minority in the country, is this classification of Latino, which is so terribly misleading. The basic summary of this report indicates that black population is holding steady. Asian population is exploding, will have doubled in about 10 years. And Hispanic population also up very dramatically. What does it all mean? Probably not quite as much as Democrats and the left would like you to believe that it means. We will get to more on that tomorrow on the MedVed Show. There's also a race-related concern, and this is one of those things where, okay, it's all about the idea that we have to correct everything and make up for our racist past, but this is actually one of those things, when you actually read about it, it's kind of amazing, and it probably is appropriate to do something. There are over 1,000 place names in the U.S., like streams and mountain peaks and forests, that have been flagged for offensive names. And you might say, oh, that's pretty ridiculous. Okay, there is a place in Oklahoma called Dead N-word spring, really. And no, it's not dinger spring, it's that word, dead N-word spring. So named because a deceased black person was found there, according to the United States Geographical Survey. So now Democrats in Congress introduced a bill that would review and revise the offensive names. Places that have been flagged include slurs for black people, Native Americans, and Mexicans living in the U.S. More than 600 places in the landscape have the word, well, the N-word, a slur for black people in their name. according to a database from the U.S. Geological Survey. So if you were going to Dead N-Word Spring, what do you say to the GPS? I mean, they're going to have to change the name. In any event, over 600 places with that name in it from the database from the U.S. Geological Survey. And in New Mexico, they have a reservoir called W Tank, with a slur for Mexican people living in the U.S. The W is, I think, a moist backside tank. Named with a slur for Mexican people living in the U.S., nearly 800 results are returned by the USGS database when searching for the term. This is a word I can say. It's searching for the term squaw, which is supposed to be an offensive name for Indian women. And they are going to go ahead and reveal more of these inappropriate names and do something about fixing them. Is this worth fighting about? Again, I think for people who live in a locality, and if they, I don't know, if they have a place called Squaw Peak, if you want to maintain that, the idea is that squaw was used as an offensive term to describe a female Native American. But getting rid of places that have the N-word in the name, it probably is going to happen. And it's probably less controversial to change that than to change even the names of Army bases named for failed Confederate generals, who really, it's a bizarre situation. The other political news today is Ron Kind, representative for the 3rd District in Wisconsin, announced that he will not seek re-election, saying that he had run out of gas, representing rural Wisconsin. I thought we were all supposed to run out of gas and abandon fossil fuels, right? He had represented rural Wisconsin for nearly 26 years. He would have faced a tough rematch against 2020 nominee Derek Van Owen, says the National Journal, the Republican who came within 2 points of knocking off Kind last year. National Republican groups like the National Republican Campaign Committee and GOP-aligned Congressional Leadership Fund singled out Kind as their top target in the midterms and cheered Kind's decision. Kind is the second House Democrat who represents a district President Trump carried and the 8th Democrat overall to retire this cycle. And that probably means that they will not be able to make a big deal out of the fact that the Republican nominee, who's already running against Ron Kind this time, actually, his name, Derek Van Owen, He is one of those people who came to Washington to listen to President Trump speak on January 6th. There's no criminal charges against him, but apparently Democrats with Ron Kind were attempting to smear Derek Van Owen for involvement with that whole demonstration. It may not work under these circumstances, and I certainly hope it doesn't. The movie today is about a very controversial subject, but it takes on that subject not so much from a scientific point of view as a human point of view. Why is it that so many people get obsessed with looking for a mysterious creature that whose existence has never even been proven? Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
There's a remarkable new documentary about a pair of weird but deeply endearing characters who devote years of their lives to a consuming obsession. What's that obsession? It's called Hunting Bigfoot.
What I saw is what I saw. It's real.
Everybody says I'm crazy. I'm not crazy.
The movie may never bring you that close to the mysterious primate in the wilds of Washington State, but it provides a richly rewarding character study of the people deeply devoted to the pursuit, along with a surprisingly satisfying and haunting conclusion. Okay, I'll admit I've always been fascinated by this subject matter, but Hunting Bigfoot qualifies as perhaps the greatest Sasquatch movie ever made. It's not rated, but some of the salty language in the real-life dialogue would probably earn an R rating. 3.5 stars for Hunting Bigfoot, like all the best documentaries. It gives you the sense that you're entering somebody's intimate and intriguing most personal life. And the fact that the film ends with a surprise that may be very encouraging for Bigfoot true believers. And I am I'm not a Bigfoot true believer, but I am certainly someone who believes that the investigation should continue and should be taken seriously. This film is greatly encouraging. I think folks will enjoy it enormously. If you have any interest at all in the subject matter, any interest at all at the way people live out in some of the more remote parts of King and Snohomish County. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to be talking about America's falling fertility rates. Is that a cause for celebration or a cause for despair? That's related directly to the Washington Post now saying that white people are going to be a minority in the country. And that's partially because of declining population, but it's also partially because of racial classifications, which are so deeply misleading. We will get to that. We'll talk about what this has to do with the border crisis, which is increasingly a sore spot for the Biden administration. And one of those challenges that the Biden administration absolutely has to rise to. We will also tell you the story of one of the more intriguing headlines of recent times. The intriguing headline: DC man flaunts new machine gun on Instagram, promptly gets arrested. There's also this headline, which we will get to: man, woman hit by bullet while wrestling over gun at church. Must have been quite a service. We will get to that and much more next time in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.